This episode is sponsored by Jacobson Real Estate Company. Are you ready to find your dream home? Or maybe you're thinking about selling and want the best deal possible? Well, look no further. At Jacobson Real Estate Company, we make buying or selling your home smooth, stress-free, and exciting. With 50-plus years of experience and a deep knowledge of the Winona, Minnesota area market, we specialize in turning your real estate goals into reality. Whether it's finding that perfect neighborhood, negotiating top dollar for your property, or answering all of your questions along the way, we're here for you. Plus, with our personalized approach, you're not just a client, you're family. So why wait? Let Jacobson Real Estate Company open the door to your future. Call us today at 507-313-2716 or visit our website at jacobsonrealestatecompany.com. Because your next chapter starts here. Buy, sell, invest. Jacobson Real Estate Company. Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and today I have a couple coming in, Cody and Amanda Allen, and they have to talk about something that I've never actually talked about, which is another complication in pregnancy, which is the spina bifida, and I don't know a whole lot about it, but both of you two are going to explain the complications that you have experienced and the way to deal with it afterwards. So I appreciate you guys coming on in and opening up and sharing your story. So welcome, Amanda. Welcome, Cody. Thank you. I know you from high school.
Yep.
So and in softball, too.
Yep.
Amanda, I'm not sure if we've ever met. I didn't think so. Maybe you saw me at the softball field or something like that, but that's awesome. And so you guys, you just said you got married not too long ago.
Yes.
Correct.
So you just had a wedding.
Yes.
How was that for you?
Good.
Good?
Glad it's over.
Yep.
What was the most stressful part about it?
The planning.
The planning? I know. How long did you guys, how long were you engaged for?
5.5 years.
Yeah. Oh, 5.5 years. So you had time to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, what was the most stressful part of the planning? Because I remember the most stressful was, for my wife and I, was where do we cut the list off at?
Yes.
Yes. That was so hard.
The guest list.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, we had a small wedding, so it was just pretty much friends and family, close friends. And
sure.
Yeah.
Her family.
We had about 60 people.
Yeah.
Where'd you guys meet at?
Signatures. Where we had our wedding.
No kidding.
So
yes. That's awesome. So how long have you actually been together then as a couple?
Six years.
Oh, 6 years. Okay. So you met at Signatures. What were you, golfing?
No.
No.
Actually at a wedding.
A wedding.
Oh, you met at a wedding.
Yep. Yeah.
They, that happens sometimes. You meet the love of your life at someone else's wedding.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Well, that's really great. And what have you been up to? I mean, I see you playing softball, but.
Work.
Work.
Working kids.
Perfect. Working kids. Amanda?
Same thing.
Now, I got to look at your shirt here. It says something on your shirt. What does it say specifically?
It says, my daughter is my hero, spina bifida awareness.
Okay, so I had a lady on. You may have seen this one. I don't know. She came on. Her name was Taylor, and she said, for these children I have puked for. That was her shirt. So she had an awareness shirt as well on the condition that she actually had as a pregnant mom, where she had the issue of always being nauseated and throwing up. So that was a different type of pregnancy issue with the mother. So she had a shirt on too, and I wanted you to just read that because not everyone's watching the podcast or listening to. So that's a great shirt.
Thank you.
And Cody, what's yours?
Mine just says spina bifida awareness.
Perfect. Okay. And so I'm just looking at your shirt. I'm looking at yours specifically, and it looks like it has to do with the spine.
Yep.
Yes.
Now, there's probably a lot of people that know exactly what this is about, but I tend to like my guests to tell me from their perspective before I do any research on it. So this, I want you to be as detailed as possible when we go through this, because you want to talk about definition, causes, diagnosis, management, your personal story as well. So be as detailed, because there's probably people out there, many people I'm assuming, that have gone through this or are currently going through this or might actually go through this in the future. So come on in and share your story with us. We are so appreciative of this. So how many kids do you have specifically?
I have three.
Okay.
And Cody and I together have two.
Okay. And now, is spina bifida only a problem with one child, or do you have multiple children?
Just one.
Okay. So what is it specifically? Because I just know it has to do with the spine, but that's where it all stops for me.
So spina bifida actually comes from the Latin word meaning split spine, and it couldn't be more appropriate for this diagnosis. It's when the nerves in the spine don't fully develop.
Gotcha. And the and meaning they don't fully develop as in?
The spine itself doesn't fully close.
Okay. So like we as humans, we have a spine and it's all connected one by one by one. This one is not like that then?
Correct.
Okay. But this, so that's got to be some difficulty, I guess, on that, because what happens then to the child slash person?
So essentially it forms, there's four different types of spina bifida. And to be honest with you, I can't pronounce the other three. But the one I can pronounce is the one my daughter has, and it's the most severe one. It's myelomeningocele, and it's where it forms a sac of all the nerves on the back, like the actual back. So it's like a pocket, a sac like this. And essentially, they are able to now remove it and sew up the back, but that doesn't mean the nerves come back together.
Okay.
There's still always going to be a blank spot.
Sure.
And the bigger the lesion is what they call them, and the higher up it is, the more the complications.
Gotcha. So it's an is it a nerve problem then?
It's like a neural split spine not closing fully. So your spine not closing, all the nerves not coming together.
Gotcha. Do you mind just moving your mic closer to your face? That's even better. Perfect. So now when that happens, is it they have a lack of feeling? Is that how it goes?
Yes. They have sensation and circulation is probably the biggest issue, I guess, maintaining their temperature and feeling things.
Okay. So feeling isn't really a thing there. So when we, how is it different than I guess from us since we have nerves, we can feel everything. Are they kind of like hunched over or is it something that you're paralyzed from? How does that work?
So depending on where the lesion is, we'll tell you what body or parts of the body it'll affect. So with our daughter, Chloe, it affects her bottom half and her left side.
Okay.
So she is currently in a wheelchair. She doesn't quite walk, quite crawl, but she has poor circulation. So when it gets really cold, her legs will turn blue. She can't really feel you tickle her.
Okay.
So that's what we notice mostly. But she is also very, cognitively, she isn't there either. So she ended up getting hydrocephalus with spina bifida. And that's where there's excess fluid on the brain, which is a common side effect of spina bifida. Most people with spina bifida have hydrocephalus. And so she had a shunt placed and that drains the fluid, goes through her neck down to her belly, which has made her cognitive abilities a little bit more behind where she doesn't talk. But she can definitely let you know what she needs by like crying and communicating other ways, making noises.
Okay. So that's a really good explanation because now for us listening, for those that are out there, they can understand what's going on then basically within the body. Because yes, we feel everything, but you said paralyzed kind of from the waist down and also left side. So then you said it also affects cognitively and you called that what was a hydrocephalus?
Yes.
Okay. So when that happens, how do you deal with that then with the child growing up? She says that she lets you know she needs something. How does she communicate that then?
By crying.
Crying? Okay.
We have a routine every day.
Okay.
Depending on what time it is.
Sure.
She starts to get fussy, crying. It's usually she's hungry, depending on what time it is.
Okay. So how old is she?
Three.
Okay. So she lets you know when she needs something, just like an infant would let you know, or a baby or toddler would let you know. Okay. So that was kind of the, for me, is like, how would she communicate if it is affecting the brain? And that's good that you have a routine, because I feel like that's probably what helps maybe the most. Because as a brand new parent of a 5-month-old, we know her routine already. It's wake up, we're happy, then we have a little bit of a bottle, then we have a nap, and then it kind of repeats itself about 5 times throughout the day. But as a parent, I know the routine and what to expect coming up during these times of the day. Is that similar to what you are experiencing as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So then you know at 9 o'clock, this is what's going to happen. 10 o'clock, this has to happen. So then how do you have childcare then? Or how does that work?
Actually, so our daughter... It's a little bit more complicated in the spina bifida world. She's actually tube fed. So she has a pump and a tube that feeds her right to her belly.
Okay.
So what happened with that was, we'll start from the beginning. I got the diagnosis that she had spina bifida at our anatomy scan at Winona Health with Dr. Shelton. Everything in my world was fine. I went there. He told me it was a girl. Mom instincts already knew it was a girl. Came home, we celebrated. 2 days later, I got a phone call from Dr. Shelton that he was referring us to Mayo, that it looked like she had spina bifida, and I had never heard of spina bifida. So I told Cody. Cody goes, oh, yeah, I know what that is. And I'm like, what? Because he works with the Gunnarsons, and one of the sons has two sons with spina bifida. So he was familiar with it. I was not. So Thursday we got that call. By Monday we were at Mayo, a week full of testing, left and right, scans, you name it. At that time, we were given some choices. Cody and I were. The biggest one they were pushing on us was to terminate her. She would only be a vegetable. She wouldn't make much of herself because her case was so severe. Cody and I were like, that's not an option. We see a face, hands, feet, not happening. The next option was to close her back up, her back, when she was born. And we were okay with that, but they had a third option, and that was I could have maternal fetal surgery, where they literally took her out of my belly in the uterus, slit a hole into my uterus, moved her up just enough so they could get to the little sac on her back, to close it up, and they did, closed me back up, put my uterus with her back into my belly, and then I carried her for another 6 weeks.
Whoa, I have never heard of that before.
I was the seventh case.
She was born twice.
Yeah.
No, that's what I thought I heard, and yes. I thank you for clearing that up, Cody, because I thought I just heard that, like, came out, did the procedure, back in for 6 more weeks. Now, was it a full 39-ish week pregnancy? Or
it was not.
No.
What ended up happening was I was released to go home, and I was on medication to keep the contractions at bay, and your blood pressure had to be over a certain amount to take this medication, and mine never was. So I couldn't take it as often as they wanted me to, and it ended up me being admitted into the hospital for a month. And she ended up, her due date was September 19th, and I had a C-section on July 25th at 32 weeks.
Okay, so very premature then. Mm-hmm. And then I assume she was in the hospital for quite some time, the NICU, I think they call it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. 50-some days.
57.
57 days, okay. And then did she start growing, healthy, getting the healthy weights up?
She did. She had her shunt placed at 2 days.
She had her what?
Her shunt. That drains the the fluid off the brain, placed at 2 days old. That went down to her belly. And then after that, it was just making sure she was able to eat and grow. We got that down pat, the bottle feeding. I was nursing, pumping, so she got mom's milk, actually up until a year. But in the NICU, she was doing great, and we were able to bring her home right on her due date. But then after we had her home for about a month and we were bottle feeding her, we realized things weren't going so good. It would take her about 2 to 3 hours to finish a 4-ounce bottle. Something wasn't adding up. We had her home for a month, 6 weeks. And then Halloween, we got admitted back into the hospital. on comfort cares, essentially. Our daughter was a failure to thrive because she, the amount of work it took her to eat her bottles and the energy she needed, she wasn't getting enough nutrients. So at that time, while we were in the hospital waiting, our ENT doctor, our aerodigestive clinic doctor, gave us some options. The big one being she might end up with a trach, and Cody and I were okay with that if that was our last resource. But he came up with another idea where he would cut part of her rib and open up her airway, which was essentially paralyzed, half hyperactive. So she couldn't swallow. She couldn't breathe and swallow at the same time.
Gotcha. Okay. That'd be kind of tough.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's like having a stuffed up nose.
We don't think about it when we're doing it.
Okay.
So, like, she actually has to think about it to do it.
Right now?
Like.
Even? Or back then?
Back then.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's. So she could take down the bottle, but she would kind of be suffocating herself as well.
Okay. Yeah. That. So she had to think about both eating and then breathing at the same time, whereas we just kind of know.
Her breathing was bad too because she was breathing in so much oxygen and she wouldn't release all the CO2.
Oh, sure.
So she was poisoning herself too.
Oh, whoa.
At the same time.
Yeah.
So how did you figure out that was an issue? Because I feel like you've never experienced this probably as parents.
The Strider.
She had a Strider coming on her throat. So most of the time when like heavy breathing, you can kind of hear it. Like heavy breathing, you can hear. She had like this weird noise. It was almost like a vibrating rattle noise.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're like, that's not right. Our neurosurgeon was the one that was like, hey, do you guys hear that too? Like, that doesn't sound right. And we're like, yeah, we were kind of wondering if you knew what that would be about. And she was like, actually, I think it'd be time for you guys to see the aerodigestive clinic. And that's when we saw them and they put a scope down her throat and was like, guys, this ain't looking too good.
Her voice box, ours are open like this. Hers were narrow.
Okay.
So that's where the cartilage from her rib was open, wedged between her voice box or windpipe or whatever.
Okay.
So that would stop. So it'd be able to move back and forth to talk eventually. Sure. But we haven't got to that point yet.
Okay. So you guys go back in. They figure this out. What happens next then?
So she's in recovery. So they fix it. It went as planned. He was really pleased with it. She's in there paralyzed or medically sedated for 2 weeks. And at that time, they had put the G-tube in because they needed to get her nutrients as she was sedated, paralyzed, medically paralyzed. And they kept it in for us because they were like, it might take her a little bit to get up to par in terms of eating or taking a bottle because this is something new for her. And we were okay with that. We brought her back home after 2 weeks. She was eating a bottle, doing just fine, and she threw up. And when I say she threw up, it was a lot, like more than a normal, even an adult person would throw up.
Whoa.
It was a lot.
And after that, she would not take a bottle.
And she was just like couple months old?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so. Yeah.
So it was done, so now she gags with anything besides like her fingers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's very, she'll make herself gag doing that even, but she's very
protective of her
touchy.
Airway.
Okay. So you said that she's on a feeding tube now?
Yep.
So then that was probably found out after all this had gone through. They said, hey, let's do feeding tube. So do you get some special type of food then? Or
yes.
How does that work?
We have, it's called Pediatric Home Service out of the cities. That we call every month, and we get our supplies. So she gets 30 feeding bags, 108 formula, and then four G-tube extensions that hook up to actually her G-tube every month. And the bags are good for 24 hours. We switch them out every day. And the extensions are good for a week, so those get switched out every week. And then the formula is just in a cardboard container. Use it, throw it out.
Okay, so she's still drinking formula type stuff. Okay, and that just helps her get all the nutrients she needs, basically. Yep. Now, will it ever transition to something else?
Hopefully.
Okay.
There is still a possibility she could eat by mouth.
Okay.
But as our doctors in Mayo would tell you, we're on Chloe's timeline, Chloe's schedule. It's her world. We're just living in it.
Sure.
And she's spicy as ever, too. So, yeah, essentially, we're not really sure what the future brings. But as of right now, she's progressed a lot more than what our doctors had told us at her care conference when she was 3 days old. They basically told us she was going to be a vegetable. Don't expect much out of her. And now she's babbling and doing all those things toddlers do, cause trouble, mischief, get into things.
Pull sister's hair.
Yep.
Okay.
She's, she's pretty witty.
So is she in some sort of wheelchair then?
Yes.
Okay, so she's pulling people's hair. Doesn't matter what the situation is. She's still acting like 3 years old. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so that's very interesting. So they said that, you know, you're not going to expect much, and now she's progressing more than expected. What do the doctors now say up until this point? Like, whoa, you must be doing something right, or what are you guys doing
Pretty much. Yeah. Like, they're shocked to see her like she is.
Okay. What is shocking them the most? Did they ever say, like, I'm surprised she's doing fill in the blank?
Not essentially anything.
Not anything particular, just how much she's improved and grown and more of a living human being than what they thought she was going to be.
Gotcha. Okay. So is she at, like, a healthy weight now?
Yep. She's going to be on a diet here pretty soon.
She's
getting bigger then.
Yeah, she's in the 93 percentile for her height. So she's pretty tall. She's over 3 feet. She's, like, 3 feet, 4 inches.
Oh, okay.
And her weight is, we're, like, 35, 36 pounds.
Okay. So, growing. Yeah. So what you're doing is working.
Yep. Yes.
And it sounds like you guys have, you know, you're all in 100% on this. We're going to do whatever I can to help her progress. Now, the next thing I have, you said that she's got siblings.
Yes.
How do they deal with this? I assume they're probably all older. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. How do they deal with, you said her name is Chloe.
Yes.
How do they deal with the spina bifida being a sibling? Are they very helpful? Do they like to, you know, give her some grief back as any other sibling would?
A little bit of everything. A little jealousy. Chloe likes to initiate horseplay, so they horseplay with her.
Okay.
Big brother is 11. He'll be 12 in January, and they are two peas in a pod. They're inseparable. Each other's best friends. Like, you could just see her face light up when she hears his voice. And vice versa. That kid would do anything for her. But there is a little jealousy where he's admitted, I wish she didn't have these problems so I could have my mom time. So it's very, as parents, it's very challenging trying to spread our time with all of our kids.
Sure.
And the five-year-old's the same. A lot of jealousy. Now it's who's sitting on mom's lap first and how long. And, yep, she's got a longer time than me, mom.
100 million seconds.
Yep, so... but overall, I mean, the older two have taken to it very well. Chloe's still very much part of the family, and they consider that, and a lot of sibling rivalry and horseplay, like most kids, most siblings.
So how old is the oldest sibling?
He'll be 12 in January.
12, okay. So how does, I just want to go off of that because there's a pretty big difference. There's a 9-year difference there. How does he deal with the, is he helpful to try to help you guys out with her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's 6th, 7th grade, so
he
clearly knows what's happening, and so he helps out as well. What does a sibling help out with? Like, what can he do?
Well, he likes to help out with, like, changing the diaper until he realizes it's more of a blowout situation, and he's like, I hate doing it.
Help.
He likes to sit with her and read to her and, like, just sit with her. Like, so, for example, if I need to get some dishes done or something, he'll be like, Mom, I'll sit with her so you can go do the laundry, dishes. The feeding, like, he knows how to take out the tube. We won't very much let him put it in, but we'll let him take it out. He gets that part down. Just playing with her, keeping her occupied, distracted.
Sure.
So we can get things done.
So does she come out of the wheelchair then?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. And then what does that look like then? Because she probably can't sit up. Is that correct?
Correct. She cannot sit up unsupported. We are working on it, and we could probably get 2 to 5 minutes of her sitting unsupported.
Okay.
It's one of our goals we've been working on. But she'll like sit on a couch rocker. She has braces, so she'll like stand up by the couch with some assistance.
Okay.
She'll roll around on the floor. She does a lot of that. She's really good at it. and brother will carry her.
Okay. Well, that's really nice then. Brother will carry her.
Yeah.
Now I'll go back to the cognitive portion. Did the doctor say like she's going, her brain's only going to develop so much, or is it going to be a normal adult? Oh. I don't know the whole situation. I just opened up a whole new can of worms.
It's progressing as she's getting older.
Okay.
Like all of her skills and stuff that
her memory,
yeah, like that she wasn't supposed to gain or have as she's growing, and they're filling in, and she's kind of getting the grasp of everything, of like knowing mom walks in the room, mama,
dada, okay,
dada,
yeah,
gets too loud, shh, she'll tell you to shh. So like there's some cognitive stuff that hopefully will get better. Okay. It's just Chloe's time, and it seems like it's 3-4 months after the norm.
Okay.
That it seems like she's starting to get into that, so it's just a little bit longer.
Sure. So her cognitive skills will eventually just keep progressing. Yes. Not as fast, maybe, but they'll eventually keep progressing. Is there like an age that they say this is probably what she'll get up to? Because I know there's other kids that have other issues.
Yeah.
No, it's just kind of whatever happens.
Yeah.
Her brain is kind of complicated, though, because they told us when she was in my belly, she was also having a lot of strokes.
Oh.
And then when we had our first MRI, her brain was pressed up against the skull wall. So it was like a donut. And in the middle of the donut was all the fluid. And so her brain was really thin. And then, of course, I pumped and was giving her my breast milk. And the neurosurgeon actually told us her brain would probably make a full recovery because she got my breast milk. And ever since that first MRI, it's just started filling in. And that's why she has a left side weakness, is because of all the strokes she had inside my belly.
Gotcha.
That they couldn't really give us much detail about, just that she was having a lot of strokes. This is what's going to be the outcome. But with spina bifida, a lot of things, like, you know, because your right side works with your left side or affects your left side and vice versa. Like spina bifida, it's kind of funky because there's some days where her sensation in her legs are great and she could feel us touching them, but there's some days where she can't feel it at all. So like the nerves and the sensation with spina bifida is what's really tricky. And what I mean by that also is like her bowels and bladder are also affected. So she's on a huge, like a really big bowel regimen every day so that she can poop. But she also, her bladder just keeps going. The same with the poop. Like you take off her diaper, it's always running. Like she's always got something coming out both sides. So it's like, it's just one of those things that we'll just have to
figure out
as she gets older on what's the best options.
And it's just because there's really no feeling most of the time?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Now, some other things that I wonder about is, do they know, like, is there a shortened timeline of lifespan, or just going to keep growing and just like anyone else?
They didn't really say, but from what I gathered was she'd probably live a pretty, like, longevity mm-hmm. life.
Okay. Yeah. So what things do you do to help her cognitive skills at home? Do you have some sort of, you guys said that you're on a regimen basically every day, kind of like a timeline, but are there certain things that help out her memory and things to help her communicate? Do you do, or?
We kind of just talk to her the same, so she remembers.
Okay.
She's on a really big separation anxiety, I don't know, phase right now. So dad's not good enough, but she can literally smell me when I walk in the room. I don't have to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
She has these amazing heightened senses. Her hearing as well is very up to par. But like we kind of just try to communicate the same. So she knows exactly what we're asking from her and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
She does the same.
So with her communication back to you, how do you know what she wants? Does she point to it?
Grunts, the grunt, and then the crying. It's either a whine, like that little fake whininess, or it's like a really big crying.
Okay.
And then you're like, okay, well, we know something's up.
Yep.
are you pooping? Because when she poops, she cries. And it's because she needs the help of the muscles when she cries to push the poop out.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's like doing the opposite for her when she's trying.
Sure.
So she gets mad and cries. So when that's the case, you just kind of see or whatever, and you go over by her, and you can usually smell it.
Sure.
And then she's fine a few minutes later.
Okay.
Or she's crying, and you pick her up, and she'll stop instantly.
Okay.
So, you know, that's what you wanted.
Yeah. I mean, I'm learning that right now with a 5-month-old. I know that there's a tired cry. There's a I need my diaper changed kind of a cry. And then there's the hungry cry. And it's weird because you just think a cry is a cry. But actually,
they're all different.
They're all different. Yes. Yeah.
It's the really high pitched screaming, like she's getting murdered. That's like when she's too tired.
Yeah.
So I've learned that one. And then there's just the cry of I'm hungry. So I'm learning all about the communication, not through verbal skills as well right now in my life as well. Now, you said the maternal fetal surgery, and then you also talked about her brain development. Is there anything that had to be done? Because I think you sent me something about her head that you...
Head reconstructive surgery, yes.
Yeah, so what is that?
So what happened was when they placed the shunt in, because of all... So essentially why I had to have her at 32 weeks was her head was growing bigger than her body.
Okay.
So the head was filling up with the excess fluid in the brain. That's why I had to be admitted, because they needed to monitor me / I couldn't take my medications and contractions were happening. So I was monitored. So I had her at 32 weeks because her head was getting bigger. At 2 days old, they put the shunt in. Well, when they put the shunt in to drain the fluid, it did just that. And it made all of those soft bones overlap. So it essentially brought her head to a triangle because it had suctioned out the fluid so fast. So it overlapped the soft bones, made it a triangle. And so eventually... The plastic surgeon, the pediatric plastic surgeon goes, I can do something about that. And we're like, you can. And essentially, he went in there, he cut her head in half, her skull, and broke the bones and formed a round forehead.
Whoa.
And put it back in and closed her head up. And it was all zigzagged. And she was bald. And it was scary. Her whole face was swollen. It was about a month recovery in the hospital, a week being on medically paralyzed so that nothing would happen to the head or would pop open, but it was a 13-hour surgery.
Whoa.
A puzzle.
Now, Cody just showed me a photo.
Yeah.
Now, was that after surgery?
That was when she was born.
Right when she was born. Okay. Yeah. So I noticed the head was a little different.
So that was her head before surgery.
Okay.
And then...
Yeah.
That's... Wow. And so they cut the head in half, the skull in half.
Yeah.
No way. I didn't even... That just sounds like such a risky surgery. Skeptical?
We were nervous. But Mayo has been awesome. We have no complaints.
Oh,
and
wow.
All the way across.
That is crazy.
One ear to the other.
It's like a zigzag.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, wow. I've never heard of that surgery before. So that is something brand new that I didn't even know was possible. And that her skull looks totally different than the other photo you had showed me.
Yep.
A little graphic, but I mean, we don't need to show that to anybody. But yes, it was almost like the head was almost elongated, or the skull was elongated, and then they did their surgery. And I can't. That's just crazy. I've never heard of that.
At 5, they'll have to open her head back up and put an extender in there, so as she grows, the forehead keeps the round shape and doesn't go back.
So there'll have to be another surgery at 5, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I did not know that. Now, is there another one after that, too? It'll be like...
No.
No.
For the head, I think as long as the brain is doing what it's supposed to, we should be good to go in the right direction.
Okay, so she's had a lot of surgeries in her little 3 years of being on the earth. The other one was you talked about the airway, right?
Yeah.
The reconstructive airway. And that was what you're talking about with the vocal cords, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So now she's good now? I mean, we're a stable?
Yeah, she had a tethered cord surgery too, which they actually had to go back into the spine where they had sewn her back up and go back in there and remove all the scar tissue because it was keeping the rest of the spine from moving.
Okay.
And if you don't fix that relatively quick, you could end up paralyzing them from the neck down.
Oh, yeah, you don't want that.
No.
So she had that. So she had this surgery in September, and in December of that same year, she had that surgery.
Wow. So now going on to mom and dad, I don't feel like probably a lot of people ask you, how are you guys doing? And what are some of the maybe things that you have to work on to help her? Like, what are some of maybe the struggles you have to deal with?
I think as a couple, as a team, as a partner, I think we're pretty solid. We knew what we were doing going into this.
Mm-hmm.
We were engaged. We were planning on getting married. We lean on each other a lot. We definitely don't do a lot of date nights like we would like, because watching a complex medical kid is a lot of work.
Sure.
So we totally understand that. But it's really just bouncing off of each other. Like, when he's tired, I pick up, and when I'm tired, he picks up. We actually each have our own sleep-in day on the weekend.
Okay.
His is Saturdays, mine is Sunday, because Sunday's football. But we agreed when Chloe was born that maybe we should do something so that we both can catch up on sleep. No interruptions, sleep as long as you want kind of deal.
Sure.
That way we could get that extra sleep that we just can't get.
Okay, so obviously... there's a lot of work that gets involved, so you're very tired, obviously. When you learned that this was going to be how she was going to be born, what did you do in the months leading up to it to prepare for it? Did you do studying, or how'd you prepare?
Not really. So Cody ended up working third shift, and we would drive every other day to the NICU. He was at that time active in his addiction. So it was a lot of mom just grinding in and getting it done. And honestly, I was just hoping the days would go by faster. And then Cody is now currently a recovering alcoholic. And it's just been a 180. Like, just the help and seeing all of our kids grow has been amazing.
Yeah. Well, and Cody, how did you deal with it, learning about it, going into it? You know that she's going to come out with spina bifida. How did you kind of prepare yourself at all? Or was it like a struggle? I don't know what I'm getting myself into.
The unknowns are not for me. I like to know what's going to happen next. And,
sure.
And I actually wasn't really a fan of having kids at the time. When Addie was born and ball of joy, and it was just like, oh, why not have another one? And then this fell into my lap, and it's what I didn't want to have kids for, was the unknown. And I was dealt with the cards of I was strong enough to do this, and here we are, of the unknowns of tomorrow, of next week, and I just have to take it one day at a time and next foot forward and move forward with not only with Chloe and her situation, my life and my situation, and bringing them all together as a family. So.
Do you guys feel like you have a pretty good handle on things right now?
We do.
Feel pretty confident now?
Yeah.
That's awesome. How long do you think it took you before you felt pretty confident? Like, we can do this. I mean, it struggled at first, but there's like a time you're like...
I actually think when Cody was in treatment.
Okay.
I visited him twice a week, Tuesdays and Saturdays, when he was in treatment over at Teen Challenge in Rochester. I think I had to write a letter to him just for giving him, or just telling him he has my support. And I think that's when it really hit me that, like, we're in this for the long run. Like, we got this. Like, it's only going to get better from here.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good.
So with all the unknowns of anything that can come up, it's... We got it. We'll figure it out. And if we have to.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have no other choice but to figure it out. And
I think our biggest struggle right now is like more of the resources. Like, there's not a lot of resources out there for spina bifida parents. And what I mean is, like, for example, we need a minivan because we have three kids. But the resources to get our car like handicap accessible, like the county said they'll help us with it, but we only have one car. So if we only have one car and it's going to take 2 weeks, like what am I supposed to use in the meantime?
Sure.
And just like, I don't think there's enough awareness, essentially for spina bifida. And it is such a huge diagnosis. It really takes a toll on the whole body of the kid and then the family as a whole. You know what I mean? And like the other siblings feel left out or feel like they aren't doing enough when essentially they're doing all they can. They're kids. You can't expect them to do more than they already are, slash just a lot of jealousy. And then the parents as a whole, you really have to have a solid built foundation if you're going to be able to raise a disabled kid.
And then I assume there's grandpas and grandmas around.
Well, there is. However, my parents are 4.5 hours away.
Okay.
And his are your mom's disabled.
Yep. And my dad's in Rochester.
Okay.
Yeah. So
they're not too close, but not too far. Some of them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes grandpas and grandmas are nearby, so they can be a resource of helping out and looking after, even though it might be a little bit more difficult. But I'm just wondering how grandpa and grandma deal with a grandchild that has spina bifida.
Oh,
and if
they
it's
love her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they love it. My mom's actually a special education teacher.
Oh, okay.
So she was the one that was like, you got this. Like, if any of my kids are going to have a disabled child, it's going to be you. And I'm like, thanks, Mom. But no, my parents love her to death. They think the world of her. His dad and mom think the world of her. Aunts and uncles the same. They're
sure.
Like, they're, she's one of us.
She
like,
definitely steals the show.
Yes. Yes. Wherever she goes.
Steals
Can't
the show.
Can't blame her. She has blue eyes, curly hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there was another thing you had mentioned to me when you messaged me to come on, is that you also have a side business of baking.
I do.
And you said that it promotes awareness for spina bifida.
I didn't wear my shirt today. I do. It's called Chloe's Sweet Treats and More. And it's baked goods, essentially making awareness for spina bifida. But it also, I make allergy-free desserts. And that's because Chloe has a dairy allergy. So her formula is dairy-free, essentially, with the proteins of the dairy to help, obviously, with the nutrition side of things. But essentially, this goes into an account to help her for when she's older. So she has her own spending money, own means of getting what she wants.
Okay, so you started that up, and then all the funds just go for her as she grows up and wants to buy some
yeah.
stuff as well.
Minus... Oh, of course, the ingredients.
But. Minus the cost, yes. Yeah. Of course, of course. Yeah. And that's called, what is it called?
Chloe's Sweet Treats and More.
Perfect. So do you make any kinds of treats, or is it specific
yeah,
things?
Yeah, so people usually message me, and they're like, hey, can you whip me up a batch of cupcakes? Right now, we're heavy into rosettes.
What's a rosette?
A rosette is a Swedish cookie, so it's like, okay. It tastes like a funnel cake. It's really light and gotcha. Airy, and it tastes like a funnel cake with some powdered sugar on it. A lot of the elderly around here love them. Actually, that's most of my orders recently have been from the elderly. But they, you message me and you're like, hey, can you make this? And if I've never made it before, I'll trial and error it. And then
she'll figure it out.
Cody gets to eat all the products.
Oh, yeah. He's happy. And so is Excel Images where he works because they get to test yep. my food.
That's awesome. So with this, you said that it's made to promote awareness for spina bifida. Is it also for the hydrocephalus? Is it, or is it just specifically, or is that just a subcategory of spina bifida?
Yeah, so it's just spina bifida because if you have spina bifida, you automatically have hydrocephalus. They almost go hand in hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just the severity of it.
Okay, gotcha. And there was one other one that you sent to me. It said
Cari
malformation.
So that's when the spine or the brain seeps into the spine.
The brain seeps into the spine. Mm-hmm. Does Chloe have that too?
She does.
Yeah. Okay. It like pulls down the brain stem and blocks it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. She does have that as well. However, they aren't going to look into fixing that unless it becomes more of an issue. And so far, knock on wood, it hasn't been terrible. Like it's something they noticed on the MRI, but nothing that has impaired her up to today.
Sure. Now going back to the baking, how did you decide that I want to do this? is it just something you just love doing is baking?
I love baking. Yes.
Okay.
Cody will probably be like 300 pounds.
Still
no,
looks pretty much the same weight from what I remember.
Yeah. He doesn't gain. kind of jealous. But yes, and Cody and I had talked about it. I was like, well, if I'm a stay-at-home mom taking care of Chloe, I couldn't be doing something with my spare time. And her PCA, Chloe's PCA at the time, was like, hey, why don't you start up a little side gig? And I was like, I don't got time for that. You're kidding me, blah, 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 blah. And so she designed the logo for me, and we had T-shirts made, and we made some business cards, and we went to the Kick-Ass Beef Jerky vendor show last year and did pretty all right. And it's kind of just been going from there. I get a lot more messages than I advertise, I should say.
You get, what do you mean by that?
Like messages, like I get a lot of people asking me if I can make this or bake this.
Sure.
Then I do advertising, like baking something and advertising it.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, oh, hey, I can make this if anybody wants to order it. Yeah.
So how do you find time then? When you, I mean, you say you're a stay-at-home mom. Are there down
nap
times?
Time.
Nap time?
Nap time.
Gotcha.
Which is kind of iffy now because she's three, yep. So she sure. thinks she only needs to take a half-hour nap or no nap, or we're going to take an hour nap. She doesn't give me much of a time.
Sure.
But we do. We make it work.
Absolutely. That's really great then. And so you just decided to do it because you like baking and you had some downtime and you're stay-at-home mom, so why not do something to continue to get money for Chloe as she grows up? Now, the last couple things as we're starting to wind down here with this podcast is, are there other things that you haven't touched on that I maybe forgot on here with Chloe's condition or just spina bifida in general?
Not really. Mayo told us we were probably their most complicated case up to date.
Oh, really?
The largest lesion that they've ever seen up to date. Her lesion is L3 to S5, so it's pretty large, pretty significant. It goes down into her butt crack. So other than that, no, she's in school right now 2 days a week. She's loving it. Everybody loves her. Like, once you get to know Chloe, you're in love. Like, I can't even deny it. And not just because I'm a mom, like everyone will tell you, Chloe's the light of the show. Like, she's great.
Does she come watch softball?
Not since I haven't played in a long time, two years.
Yeah.
Well, I think I just talked to you a good few days. I think it was probably the previous year. Also, is this last year? You stopped me in the parking lot and said hi.
Yep.
So I don't remember if that was this year or the year before that.
Yep. That was 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago already. Holy cow. Yep. I thought it was just this last summer.
No. Nope.
The time is flying by. Well, one of the last questions I have for you with Chloe and her condition, what is one memory that just comes to memory from her being on the earth only for three years at the moment? What are some of the positive things that you remember, or some of the exciting things that she maybe has done, or maybe it's just a highlight in her life so far? I don't know. I may have just put you on the spot with that one, too.
I think saying mama and dada.
Yeah.
Knowing that, making noise comes out of the voice box. So when we asked the ENT doctor, we're like, is she ever going to talk? He's like, talking is cognitive. Noise making is in the voice box. So it's a two for one. Your brain and your voice box have to work together to make you talk.
Okay.
So he goes, I can't tell you for sure. But the day that she said mama and dad, we were like, yes.
Pretty. So that's one step forward to her possibly being able to talk one day.
Do you remember the specific date it happened?
I don't.
No. Was it just recently or like a couple years ago?
No, she's been saying it for a while. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that one stands out for you, I suppose. Yeah. Especially when you're told she may not be able to talk, and then all of a sudden that comes out, and you're like, whoa.
Right.
Yeah. That is pretty cool. I'm working on our daughter, too, right now. Like, I mean, she's only 5 months old, so she's got a little ways to go. But I keep talking to her and trying to help her say stuff.
It goes so fast. It goes so fast.
That's what everyone tells me. It cruises by. And
yeah.
I guess you're right. It has. It's 5.5 months already. And
they get sassier and sassier. The girls are terrible.
We had Adeline, the start of COVID.
Yeah.
So.
That was a treat.
Oh, geez. How much fun was that?
We couldn't leave the hospital until we were discharged.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't go in.
To my C-section. Yeah.
That is so annoying.
Yeah. So we had one event after another.
COVID baby, spina bifida baby. Yeah. So you said you have 5 kids total?
Only 3.
Two. Well, I have 2.
Have 3. So, no, we have 2 together and I have 3. With somebody else. A third one with somebody else.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Three total.
Gotcha. Yeah. When you first said it, I thought it was 3 and 2.
No.
And 5. Okay.
No more.
Okay. So what are the names of all of them? Might as well mention them on here.
Ian is going to be 12 in January.
Okay.
That's Ian. Our 5-year-old's name is Adeline. And our 3-year-old is Chloe.
All right. So all siblings, jealousy, same thing as always. There's just some complications with spina bifida that come with it. But it sounds like you guys are doing a fantastic job. And hopefully people are telling you that, because I can't imagine how much stress would be on my plate if I had that issue as well. And you guys seem like you're kicking ass right now and, and doing it. And you are only 100% full speed ahead on her developing throughout life.
Yes.
So that's awesome. Well, is there anything else that you guys want to mention, talk about at all?
I think so.
No? So mention the baking again, just so people will know.
Oh, Chloe's Sweet Treats and More.
Do you have a Facebook page and all that?
I do.
Okay. I'll put that in the show notes for those who are listening or watching. You can just click on and go right over to Amanda's page. And if you want to get some sweet treats, they're allergy-free too, you can make.
Yep.
So that's awesome.
Traditional and allergy-free.
And I want to thank you guys again for coming on in, sharing the story, because not everyone may be as comfortable sharing a difficult story that happens specifically within your own family. So I want to thank you guys both for coming in. Cody, you came on. You weren't sure if you wanted to come on, but you did fantastic.
Yeah.
You gave your two cents when necessary, and you had some stories to tell, so that's awesome. Well, thank you guys for coming on in, and I want to give you a cheers before we get done. But for those who are listening or watching, please like, share, subscribe, comment, 5-star this. That would help out the podcast to get out to anyone that's out there. Maybe someone is dealing with this. You can hear firsthand experience with spina bifida or any of the other previous 100-plus episodes that are out there. But Cody, Amanda, thank you for coming on. Now let's cheers our waters, please. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. And we'll see you guys next week.